HD3 and K274 CM College Station Bryan.
Flag. I'm Jay Berman. This report is brought to you by RingCentral, providing easy-to-use cloud phone solutions for your workforce and business communications made simple. For more information, go to ringcentral.com. All right, breaking news from the world of NFL football. Josh McCown will be the starting quarterback on Monday night against the Ravens for the Browns. This after yet another video surfaced of Johnny Manziel partying in a club. The Browns made the announcement just a couple of minutes ago. Not only does Josh McCown get the start, but Johnny Manziel will be the number three quarterback the rest of the way. Austin Davis is the backup, so that's quite a demotion for Manziel. From bad to worse for the Panthers as well. Defensive end Frank Alexander has been suspended for a year for violating the substance abuse policy. This comes just one day after defensive end Wes Horton was suspended four games for testing positive for a performance-enhancing substance. Elsewhere, Colin Kaepernick had a surgery on his shoulder this morning. Apparently, everything went smoothly, as expected. He is expected to make a full recovery. Seahawks are bringing back running back Bryce Brown. No word yet on Marshawn Lynch, although infer what you want. Bryce Brown coming back means we're probably not going to see Marshawn Lynch anytime soon. College hoops, number 13, Indiana. It's just gone final at the Maui Invitational. They beat St. John's 83-73. In action later on tonight at the Cancun Challenge on CBS Sports Network at 8:30 Eastern. Number 2, Maryland takes on Illinois State. I'm Jay Berman.
Hey, this is Brian Jones of Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio, wishing you and your family a happy Thanksgiving.
Patrick Zinert with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by R.P. Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Calling all filmmakers, submissions for the 2016 Red Wasp Film Festival are now being accepted. The deadline to apply is January 2nd. For more information on how to apply, visit redwasp.org or call 696-2787. The College Station Noon Lions Club is holding their annual Christmas tree sale fundraiser across from College Station Police Department. The lot is open weekdays from 4 until 9 p.m. and weekends from 9 until 9. The Stark Galleries at Texas A&M presents Visual Transcendence, featuring the paintings of Michael Collins and ceramics and drawings by Jim Edwards and Amanda Berry through December 15th. Today's going to be partly sunny with a high of 70. Tonight, mostly cloudy, down to a low of 59. Want to listen to your favorite high school teams? Texas A&M football, basketball, baseball, softball, or soccer on your smartphone, PC, or tablet? Make sure to visit RadioAggieland.com.
Meet America's favorite action heroes. They're tough and rugged. It's Ram 1500 and 3500. So tough, they never need stunt doubles. Because when these guys are headed to their next big scene, they can even handle pulling their own trailers. Get 0% APR for 75 months on 2015 Ram 1500 during the Ram Black Friday Blockbuster Sales Event. It's the must-see event of the year, going on now.
Right now, get $3,000 cash allowance on 2015 Ram 2500 or 3500 models. See your local Ram dealer today and take advantage of this great offer. Visit ramtrucks.com to find a Ram dealer near you and to check out other great deals on the full line of rugged Ram trucks. 0% APR financing for 75 months equals $1,333 per month per 1,000 financed for qualified buyers through Chrysler Capital, regardless of down payment. Not all buyers will qualify. Residency restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Take retail delivery by 11/30/15. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Osteoarthritis is a common condition in adults, which causes joint pain, tenderness, and stiffness. Discover Research is conducting a research study in people 35 and older with knee pain due to osteoarthritis. Up to $300 will be paid to study participants for completing 4 clinic visits. To learn more about this osteoarthritis study, call Discover Research locally at 731-1212. That's 731-1212. Or visit us on the web at discoverresearch.com.
Just $3 a day could buy the average Texan health insurance. And with the fine for not having insurance increasing to almost $700 next year, it just doesn't make sense to put it off any longer. Go to InsureHealthTX.org. That's InsureHealthTX.org.
Listen to Aggie football, basketball, baseball, softball, and soccer on your home for Aggie athletics. The Zone FM, 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. It's the second hour of Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, Sam Kahn. Brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of cool shows and stuff coming in this year. Check it out, mscopus.org. You can text us 229-1939. Let's break down X's and O's, the matchups of this A&M-LSU game. We talked in the last segment a little bit about all the – there's a lot of micro stories here. Chavis coming back to face LSU, not just his former employer in Les Miles, but also just all the guys he recruited there. He knows them. He coached them. The fact that Les Miles may – this might be his last game as the LSU coach is part of this whole deal. A&M's ongoing quarterback situation is part of this deal. How good does Kyle Allen look against LSU? Can he put his stamp on this job saying that, hey, I don't care if Kyler Murray comes back to Texas A&M next year. I'm the best quarterback in this program. I think that's another story here for A&M. All of that going into a game that otherwise doesn't mean a whole lot. But because of who it is, when it is, and what's been happening, this is a big game for both teams, not just in this ongoing, like, can this become a rivalry sense, but both teams need this one.
Well, also, quietly, if A&M wins, they will have closed this regular season not winning four of their last five.
Right.
And that's pretty good, considering where they were after the Alabama and Ole Miss
game.
They'll
come in next year ranked 15th, like Tennessee or whatever.
They'll be 9-3 with a chance for a double-digit win season. So that'll be really good if they end up that way. But, yeah, I think the drama going on at LSU is what is the biggest factor and the thing that everyone's paying the most attention to. It's going to be interesting to see what the atmosphere is like, especially if LSU struggles early, what the fan response will be and things of that sort. Because
I'm actually more interested in what the fan – because I feel like if they struggle, then the fans are going to be like, all right, whatever, let's move on. Les Miles isn't getting it done. We're about to lose to A&M. I would be more interested to see what the atmosphere is like if LSU jumps out on A&M. Would the crowd start chanting Les's name and have him run up and down? I mean, like, what – I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting sight because to me – and now, granted, the Twitter and the message boards are just a small sample size of your overall fan base. We all know that. But this does not seem like a popular move amongst the LSU fans. Now, I know there's a lot of them that are okay with it, but this isn't fire Dennis Franchione. This isn't a fire Mike Sherman. This is a – most of the fan base at best seems like lukewarm on this to me when I from what I can tell.
110-32. It's a pretty good record.
And the players love playing for Les Miles because he's that psycho type. He's off the wall. So the players are going to come out fired up. And like you said, if LSU gets off to a good start, I think the fans will be behind Les. We know the team will be behind Les. So A&M, and of course, someone diverted the question, but you always want to start early. But this is a game where they don't need to be falling behind 7-0 early.
You know, if I were Les, not that he doesn't do this anyways, but
onside
every crazy decision I have in my back pocket that I haven't used, I'd roll them all.
Someone tweeted that yesterday. I think it was Brandon Larrabee, actually, who's been on the show before from Team Speed Kills with SB Nation, but was that there are going to be trick plays in this game that like defy time and space,
yes,
that no one's ever seen before, that have never even been tried, might be illegal.
It's like I want to see the holder on a field goal, fake field goal, running through the middle between the tackles. Like, I want to see nonsense like that.
But one thing that's no nonsense is no fake. They just hand it the number 7 30 times, and A&M could be in trouble.
Yep. And you know, and that is a very valid point because we still don't know if they're going to be able to stop that run.
Well, some people have texted. They said, you know, someone said if LSU doesn't – well, trying to find the right tweet here. We got all of our tweets in the wrong order. Our texts in the wrong order. Oh, there it was. It says A&M beats LSU if they can run the ball. LSU beats A&M if they can run the ball. And then someone else said Allen read the corner blitz last week and got the ball to Carson out in the flat for a first down. That's the difference between him and Kyler. Yeah, just his experience. And also just his ability to throw it is a difference. I mean, Kyler, what did we say? His longest completion of the season was 26 yards, and that was to that wide-open Jeremy Tabuyo. Allen, 10 of his 18 completions in this game were for more than 10 yards. So you just get some downfield threat when Allen is in the game. The thing to me, A&M doesn't have to run the ball to beat LSU. I joked with Olin today over from Texas. He sits by me at the press conference, and I was sort of saying that they should almost, you know, like you do on a Hail Mary where you put all your big receivers and safeties back at the goal line. They should just do that with the defensive line and let Leonard Fournette run 80 yards and get into the red zone and then force him out of bounds and then see if they can stop LSU in the red zone. You know, like basically rope-a-dope the offense and then see if you can stop him on big plays. They're not going to stop Leonard Fournette. He's going to eat up a bunch of yards. Mm-hmm. The question is, can they keep him out of the end zone a couple times and force them to kick a couple field goals?
Well, let's not forget, they lost by a touchdown last year and had the ball on the last possession of the game with a chance to win. And Leonard Fournette ran for about $130, $140 and ran over Howard Matthews very memorably on the way to the end zone. So Fournette was pretty good a year ago, and A&M still had a chance to win. So I think they can allow him to eat up some yardage. Now, where it becomes an issue for A&M is if he starts getting to the 200, 220, 230 yards. Then, in that case, yeah, you can just pack it up.
Well, what concerns me about this from the A&M standpoint is Harris has the ability to make plays. He's got good receivers. And if A&M loads the box up too much, Harris could make two or three plays that really puts LSU over the top.
I do think that Chavis is going to force that to happen, though. I think they're going to sell out on Fournette, and they're going to make Brandon Harris beat him.
Could be.
And if they do, then
the truth to me is the numbers are the numbers, and LSU is a mediocre passing offense. They're not as bad as some people think. They're a lot better than most people think, actually. But they are middle of the road. But A&M's pass defense is great. It's top 10 in the country. And I know that it's partially because their run defense is so bad, but the numbers are what they are. And I think you take your chances. If LSU beats you over the top, then that's fine. That was what's going to happen anyway. So I think you load them up and you say, hey, Devontae Harris, you're a senior. This is your final regular season game. Go make some money.
Go cover Malachi Dupree by yourself.
Go cover somebody.
I wouldn't want that assignment.
Well, A&M also benefited. You had two lousy passing teams, really, from the East, even though South Carolina had pretty good numbers. And then you look how well Allen threw against A&M because of the running threat of Collins. And I'm not going to say that Harris can go out and do that because Brandon Allen's had a tremendous year throwing the football. But we can, you know, do all we want to. And I agree, Chavis is going to load up the box. But still, can they stop Fournette? Can they stop him from 250 yards? I don't know.
Well, and that's kind of why I jokingly said to move everybody back into the red zone. But not that you actually would do it, but Fournette's going to get yards. You just can't let him score touchdowns from outside the red zone.
Outside 30.
Yeah, and you can't let him run for 65 yards in a touchdown. I mean, that's what broke Syracuse's back earlier in the season. And we talk about LSU and Leonard Fournette like he's a freight train that's unstoppable, which he has been against bad teams. But there's other parts to that team, and Syracuse was in that game in the fourth quarter until they let Fournette rattle off like two 80-yard touchdown runs. If you get, he's going to get 6 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards, whatever, but you cannot let him get 80. You can't let him get 70. You've got to make them keep running it and not give up huge plays. I think that's what they're going to do. And you know, we kind of joke about Devontae Harris on Malachi Dupree, but has a receiver had a big game against A&M this season that he was on? Not really. I mean, the guy that we think, the only game that the pass defense was absolutely atrocious was Arkansas, and that was mostly the tight ends because of how bad A&M's linebackers are. So I think you've got to pick your battle here, and I think you've got to trust Devontae Harris on Malachi Dupree and basically say, hey, we're going to take a safety out and put him in the box and see what happens. If they beat you deep,
Chavis has no issue doing that.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's his defense. He leaves his corners on an island. So.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be out there on the island this week, and they've earned that right. I think Brandon Williams and
Devontae
Harris
has a good season.
Yeah, Devontae Harris has had a great season. It's hard to rate corners because when they're playing well, they don't throw the ball at them. And that's how I know he's had a great season is I don't remember him having to make very many plays, which means that his guy is not open very often. So I think he's earned the right to go out there and try that. The question for me is, can A&M get into the end zone? I think LSU is going to score 14 or 17 points. I think Fournette's going to have a big game. The question is, can A&M score more than that? Can these third downs turn into first downs? And can Kyle Allen get them into the end zone? This is his chance. And we said this before the break. This is his chance to go out there and say that I'm the best quarterback in this program, and he's got to do it. The last time he had that chance, he was horrible against Alabama and Ole Miss. He's got to go out there and do it. I think this game is all about Kyle Allen for me.
From A&M standpoint, because I want to see what he does under pressure, because he's going to face a lot more. Vanderbilt gave him no pressure. He's going to get hit a few times. Vanderbilt couldn't hit him. So he's back in the starting lineup. But he's going to face adversity, and he really faced zero adversity at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think this is going to be...
As Sam Eats is talking, let's get the guy right. Come on.
Well, my thing is just that, he's got to go out and play well. Otherwise, they're going to have... And obviously, there's still a bowl game left. But otherwise, the talk in the offseason is going to be about a quarterback competition again. And I know there is going to be a quarterback competition next fall. That going into the fall, we're going to be talking about, is it going to be Kyler? Is it going to be Kyle?
No, that's assuming they're both here.
If they're both here. But
still
Kyle,
a lot of football will be left this season.
But what I was going to say is, if Kyle goes out and has a big game in this game and entrenches himself as the starter for the bowl game, then he goes at least into the offseason as the likely starter. And then it shakes out from there.
If he has two really good games, I don't know if Kyler Murray's here.
That's right. Well, and I think that's the thing. He knows that too. I mean, again, that's part of it for Kyle. Go out, take the job, and make everyone else wonder what they've got to do because you're the starting quarterback. I think that's his chance here.
I agree with you. I think it's a chance for him to really shine. It's a chance for him to prove where he is, because this is the one game that A&M has not been able to win since they've been in the SEC. To beat LSU, they've beaten every other team in the West, but they have not beaten this team. And I think a win at LSU would be a statement, not just for Allen per se, if he's able to pull it off, but a statement for this program, because, again, where they were at the middle of the season, I understand LSU's down and they're struggling, but there's still a perception. If you go in there and you lose, then it's like, well, that same old A&M that really isn't a threat there. So they start nice, but they fade down the stretch, and they're an okay team, but not a great team.
Yeah,
I think for perception's sake, I think that this game is very important for them. And, you know, a 9-3 at the end of the regular season looks a lot better than 8-4.
Huge difference between 8-4 and 9-3. You're absolutely correct, Sam. That's a world of difference between 9-3 and 8-4.
Well, and frankly, if they get to 9-3, then they outplayed everybody's expectations. I mean, from what everyone said in the offseason, when everyone wrote down there, what do you think A&M's going to do this season, there were not a whole lot of 9-3s out there. There was
if you go back, look, most of them were 9-3s.
No, not the ones that we had. Most everybody in our that we got in the preseason thing that we have in our magazine said 7-5 or 8-4. And I was on the 9-3 side of 8-4, but I think even I ended up saying 8-4 before the year. And then you're right there. And then
I said 9-3. I will let you in on this little tidbit. I actually went through and put the schedule grid for every SEC team and tried to map out every game, you know, predict every game back in August, mm-hmm. because I don't want to be one of those guys who just goes through the schedule and then you have the same team winning two games. I have so far.
That's good.
So far, I have picked every one of A&M's 11 games correctly from August. I had them 9-3, and I actually had them winning this game at the start of the year. So we'll see.
Yeah, the flip game was Auburn, and that's the one that, you know, if everyone could get it back and if Kyle Allen's healthy, then maybe A&M has a chance in that game. But they were so bad that day. But the thing about it is no one knew Auburn was going to be that bad when the season started. So that's a part of this, too. If you just said that Auburn is going to be horrible, then I think most people probably would have said 9-3. But then they lost that game anyway. So I don't know. It's interesting to me the way expectations change. Everyone talks about, like, if A&M finishes 8-4, it's going to feel disappointing, which it will. I'm not saying it doesn't.
And it should.
But that's about what most people thought when the season started. I mean, I know you had
9-3. Maybe, but I think there were enough people out there. For instance, Stuart Mandel at Fox Sports picked them to win SC West. There were enough people high on this team, not necessarily because they thought they were all that great, but because of the way the schedule set up, and the returning quarterback, and some, you know, a sophomore Myles Garrett, and some of the key pieces you had with the addition of Chavis, that felt like this could be a 9 or 10 win team. And I thought that was a fair. I think given the schedule, I think if you had had 2016 schedule on this team, yeah, I would have picked them maybe 7-5 or 8-4. But with this schedule, I thought it was so manageable. When you only have 3 true road games, that you should win 9 games with the kind of talent that they have on this roster. And I think if they hit 9-3. then they basically hit what I expected them to, and not anything less and not anything more.
The schedule thing is interesting because and I've done it too, the even odd year schedule bit hinges a lot on thinking that Auburn is going to be good all the time. Because otherwise, playing at Ole Miss, that was a harder team than Auburn this year. So next year, Ole Miss comes to Kyle Field. And then there's a couple of things here. One, it hinges on where you think Auburn is going to be and where you end up playing Bama. And then the other thing about it is the fact that who knew it was going to be quarterback for A&M was part of the problem too. But because the East teams, it doesn't matter where they play. I know Tennessee comes here next year, and they should be pretty good. But it doesn't matter where they play South Carolina, at least for now. That's a bad football team. And next year, though, LSU comes to Kyle Field. Ole Miss comes to Kyle Field. Yeah, they go to Auburn and Alabama. But, I mean, until Auburn is back, I don't know that that's any more difficult than Ole Miss. And you're going to lose to Auburn.
I guess we're going to have to start factoring in their lack of success in home games against SEC teams.
Well, that's what I was trying to think of. The other thing is the fact they're not any better at home than they are on the road.
They're worse. They're worse, actually. Yeah, they're 6-9 versus SEC teams at home.
So I don't know that the schedule thing matters as much as maybe we all like to think it does, because they've been, like you said, bad at home anyway.
Yeah.
And really all it comes down to is where you play Bama. Because otherwise,
and like you said, whether or not Auburn is good. And I thought Auburn was going to be really good, so I picked them to lose that game, and they did. But they lost against a bad Auburn team.
Otherwise, it kind of all evens out from where they play everybody.
Speaking of which, we're all having these conversations about A&M, and what are those conversations like in Auburn this year?
True.
My goodness.
Yeah.
They just got bowl eligible last week.
They're lucky they did that. All right, a couple of texts. Someone says, if LSU has more than 5 plays in the first half that don't involve number 7, Les should be fired. Well, he does wear down, though. I mean, he's not a machine.
Well, it's not Les. I mean, Cam Cameron's calling the plays. Let's not get crazy.
Well, I'm just saying Fournette does get tired.
You know what? And I wonder if he has throughout this season because of the workload on him earlier.
Called that in September. You can't hand the ball 40 times a game.
That's fair. You did say that.
It won't be the same in late November. Someone else said Leonard can get 200 yards and they'll only have 17-21 points. It'll take more than that to beat Kyle Allen this week. Matt in College Station. Here's the thing about Fournette's yards and why I said the touchdowns thing is so important. Derrick Henry ran for like 8 million yards at Kyle Field earlier this year, and they only had 20-something points on offense. I mean, if A&M's offense doesn't just give them 21 points,
that game
could have been closer. Now, I know the flip side of that is, yes, they would have then had the ball, and they could have run it more, and they would have had extra possessions and all this kind of stuff. But the stats for Fournette aren't that important to me. It's can you keep them to a field goal where it might have been a touchdown. I mean, that's what's going to make the difference in this one. And then someone said, for that matter, it'll take more than 21 points to beat Bertolette. That's from Matt.
Bertolette. I found that entertaining.
I like Bert a lot because he kicked it a lot.
Well, Brad Markwart, one of the SIDs at A&M, sent an email about Taylor Bertolette getting SEC Special Teams Player of the Week. And made sure on the top of the release to say it is pronounced Bertolette.
That's funny. All right, we got to catch a break. When we come back, playoff rankings, top fours, that kind of stuff. Hit us up, 229-1939. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone FM 102.7.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Hi, this is Gabe Bach from Texags Radio. This Christmas, Blue Baker and The Zone are asking you to add a child you've never met to your Christmas list. Christmas angels are little paper angels with a child's name and Christmas gift wish. Choose a Christmas angel from the tree set up inside both Blue Baker locations, 201 Dominic Drive in College Station and 800 University Drive across from the Hilton College Station. Then shop for your angel, drop off the wrapped gifts at the tree, and we'll do the rest. The last day to drop off angel gifts is Friday, December 11th. Thank you for helping make a Merry Christmas for a Christmas angel.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
Well, it's $1 Million
Quartet is the smash hit musical inspired by the true story of the jam session that brought Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Elvis Presley together for the first and only time. Million Dollar Quartet features timeless hits like Blue Suede Shoes, Whole Lotta Shakin' Going On, Hound Dog, I Walk the Line, and more, played live by fabulous musicians.
Presented by MSC Opus, Friday and Saturday, February 19th and 20th. For tickets, visit mscopus.org.
The guide to better living in the Brazos Valley is the Brazos Life Annual Manual. The Brazos Life Annual Manual is packed with everything to see and do in the Brazos Valley. From where to go to take in our vigorous art scene, or where to go for a vigorous workout, this magazine features the who's who, what's what, and where's where in the Brazos Valley. Advertise your business in the Brazos Life Annual Manual. Call Sam Jones with Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
This year, Black Friday starts early at Joann Fabric and Craft Stores. Get the lowest prices of the year on doorbusters. Up to 75% off starting at 6 a.m. Tuesday morning, including 75% off cozy flannel solids and snuggle flannel prints. 70% off Christmas ribbon, ornaments, fabric floral stems and picks. 40% off entire stock irons and Singer sewing machines. Joann has everything you need to make holiday cheer. Shop now and save big. Doors open 6 a.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday only at Joann Fabric and Craft Stores.
Your home for Texas A&M women's basketball is Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone, 102.7 FM.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, Sam Kahn. Wrapping up this part of the show before we go to the high school report. Let's talk a little about what we expect out of the rankings this week. We're getting down to the end. The top four in the AP poll this week: Clemson, Alabama, Iowa, Notre Dame. And is that what we're expecting out of the playoff committee?
You know, I don't know. It's a good question. I think Oklahoma will get in, and I think Notre Dame will get in.
I like those four.
So you don't like Iowa by the committee?
Actually, you know what?
The committee's got a hard time with Iowa because they still haven't beaten anybody.
Too many Big Ten people in that room, though, so I'm saying Iowa's in.
You know, I think it's interesting. I would almost think, based on what the committee's done before, they might put Michigan State in ahead of Iowa because it looks, and we talked about this last week, is it about who beat you or who you beat?
And
needs to be about who beat you. I mean who you beat. Sorry.
I was going to say, you flip gears on me now.
Sorry. It needs to be about your wins, not about your losses. Do the losses matter? Yes. But it needs to be about who you beat. I don't like hearing this, well, they have the best loss. I don't care about the best loss. I care about the best wins.
It shouldn't be about the best loss, but to me, the worst loss can factor in. I mean, and that's what I go by when I'm thinking about these teams. Iowa hasn't lost to anyone, but they haven't beaten anyone. Michigan State now has the best win of this group with the win over Ohio State.
And they have three good ones.
Right. They're the only one in this group, other than Clemson, who beat Notre Dame, who has a win over someone else in this group. Michigan State has now beaten Ohio State. And their loss was to Nebraska on a fluke, into the game, wild situation deal. Oklahoma is the one I have a problem with, not just because they lost to Texas, but because they really got dominated by Texas. I mean, they were not close to winning that game. And I know that doesn't necessarily matter, but if you're going to compare one-loss teams, to me, that's a pretty big tiebreak.
Okay, but I will say this, though. Michigan State beat Ohio State, but Ohio State hadn't really beat anybody. So do we really know how good a win
Correct.
That is?
Ohio State has no good wins.
Whereas Oklahoma beat Baylor, who then beat Oklahoma State. So at least there's some validity to that win.
Only because we've decided that those three teams are all good.
We've decided.
Well, at some point, your house of cards has to start somewhere. And I think we can all agree that because they're the defending champions and we're undefeated, we're all pretty sure that Ohio State's a good football
team. I'm not. That's the thing. I'm not totally sold on that. I think it was silly that we were continuing to include them because – and you had people saying, you know, I think some of the players were saying, well, we think it should be number one – Who have they beaten? Who's Ohio State beaten?
I had them number one, and I'll tell you the same reason. They hadn't beaten anyone.
Yeah.
It was all on the comes, and I figured they'd beat. Last year, it don't matter. I figured they'd win their last two games. They didn't.
Yeah.
So they fall way back. I dropped them way down because the house of cards, to me, fell on them. They have no good wins. When you look at Ohio State, who's Ohio State's best win?
Well, I was trying to look that up right now. My guess is it's probably I'm trying to find their schedule real quick, and then for 30.
But yeah, so that now that said, Michigan State has a win over Oregon. They have the win over Ohio State, and then they have one other the Michigan win at Michigan.
Yeah,
and that was, of course, crazy play at the end. But they have three wins that are probably stack up just about against anybody. I would still take Oklahoma over Notre Dame because I'd like Oklahoma's wins better than I like Notre Dame.
Is Penn State?
Notre Dame has the best loss. Has the best loss, and yes, Notre Dame beat Texas, but I think Oklahoma has better overall wins than Notre Dame does.
Oklahoma's got a chance this weekend. I mean, the thing, though, and again, we're getting down into the nitty-gritty here a little bit, but
Totally dismissed Iowa, though.
That's what we're getting at.
Iowa, I think that's fair.
I'm not – Iowa's fine. They're going to win whoever the crap team they play. Is it Nebraska, Purdue, whoever
at
it
Nebraska
is?
Nebraska. It's tough. They're going to win that like one. A 1 or 2 point pick.
They're going to win that one, and if they don't, then they're out anyway.
Correct.
And if they win that one, then they get their chance against Michigan State probably, and if they win that one, they're in. That's all that has to be this conversation for Iowa. The problem is a team like Oklahoma, who is – If Trayvon Boykin plays, they would not have beaten TCU. I mean, they almost lost to the
backup. We don't know that, though.
All he had to do was flip it, and the guy would have been a 2-point conversion, and they would have won the game. And instead, he throws it into Stryker's right hand, and then Oklahoma's able to pull that one out.
But they won. That's all that matters at the end of the day.
Iowa's beat Pitt, Wisconsin, and Northwestern. Those are three decent teams.
They're decent.
But no, hasn't Notre Dame also beat Pitt?
Ohio State hasn't been that good. Notre Dame beat Pitt.
Get back to the house of cards. So you have to decide.
But Oklahoma beat Tennessee on the road.
That's not anything, though.
I mean, think that's a good – it's a non-conference SEC game on the road. That is a good win.
Iowa won at Wisconsin.
If it was Vanderbilt, I wouldn't give them credit, but it's at least – it's a team that's going bowling in a power conference, and you went on the road. How many teams are going on the road to play power conference teams, non-conference play?
Yeah, not very many.
To me, that matters.
It does. It factors in. Like I said, my thing, and Oklahoma's got their shot, too. If they look really good on Saturday, then they'll probably be in. If they can clobber or just win at Oklahoma State, then they're fine.
Iowa won at Iowa State. Iowa State beat Texas. Texas beat Oklahoma.
There you go. Hey,
there you go.
The transitive property theory.
You want me to pull out of Houston beating Vandy, and then Vandy close to Florida?
Here's a question that I think would maybe be more interesting than our thoughts on these this group, which still has some stuff to shake out. Who's the lowest ranked team that you think still has a shot?
Let me look at the rankings.
Because I was eyeing this last week, and I think North Carolina still has a chance.
Because if you beat Clemson, Clemson's number one. So what does getting beaten number one get you?
Stanford still have a chance because if things start going haywire and a couple other these one loss teams lose the second game, could Stanford sneak in?
North Carolina's not beaten anyone that's in the top 25.
That loss to South Carolina is going to kill them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Think about that.
That loss is the problem with North Carolina. Yep. But the thing is, if they win their final game, I don't know who they play this weekend. NC State, is that the rivalry
game?
They play them, and then they beat Clemson, they're going to go from all the way out to all the way in by beating Clemson.
They beat Pitt on the road.
Yeah.
Decent win.
Pitt is ranked now. Pitt's back in ranked. That was last week. Okay.
Like you said, Duke, I guess, is not a bad win. And then if they beat Clemson in the championship I think you have to put them in. But other than that, their schedule is lacking, dude.
Oh, it's horrible.
Their schedule is lacking.
Right. But
they got didn't they play two FCS teams?
Two?
Delaware and North Carolina A&T. They played two FCS teams. That is awful.
You can't put anybody.
You played two FCS teams and they lost to South Carolina.
What was Larry thinking? That's horrible.
That is awful.
Weren't they?
I wouldn't put them in on principle, but I do agree.
Wasn't that part of the UAB shakeout? They had to play two because they were supposed to play UAB.
You're telling me you couldn't even get Georgia Southern that's Sun Belt?
No, maybe not. That's it. If they were the last team standing, everyone else already has their schedules out. Anyway, we got to get to the high school report, but I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with them down the stretch. If Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State, they'll be fine. They'll probably be in because
Navy.
Like you said,
Navy got a shot?
No, Navy doesn't have a shot. But we'll see. We'll see. The Big Ten, a lot of games left to go. Still a fun, interesting. I wish Notre Dame would lose and get them out of the way.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
join a conference, Notre Dame.
I agree. Now that I agree.
Yeah, that's why.
I would like them to be in a conference.
By the way, I failed to mention this, but it was a good point. Baker Mayfield was hurt for Oklahoma as well.
Thank you.
You mentioned that.
I mentioned that Boykin was hurt for TCU.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Boykin was in and Mayfield was hurt.
Is Mayfield going to play Saturday? That's what we don't know. So I mean, that if
probable.
That makes Oklahoma's win better because they play with a backup quarterback. Remember the logic they use about Ohio State with a third-string quarterback, meaning Wisconsin showing the strength of the team. Then in that case, Oklahoma winning with a backup quarterback should matter.
That logic, put Baylor in number one team.
A&M still involved.
Hey, they Baylor might still get in.
We got to get to the high school report. Come back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Local law enforcement is again reminding vehicle owners to keep valuables out of sight. College Station Police Lieutenant Steve Brock says that's after forced entry was made into three vehicles and guns were taken.
The difference in those vehicles, there's some very subtle stickers and things like that that would suggest that they do own a firearm, and at times they can be targeted because of those subtle support stickers and things of gun rights and gun clubs, things like that.
You're also reminded to hide small things like power cords, which Brock says is a cue for thieves that there may be valuables inside. The College Station City Council is interested in improving traffic safety following recent deaths of two pedestrians and a bicyclist who was struck and hospitalized last weekend. Assistant City Manager and former Police Chief Jeff Capps says it's already been discussed by staff, and the subject also needs to include Texas A&M officials.
It is kind of a different environment when you're on campus. It's kind of, I guess through the years what I've seen, you kind of in a mindset where the pedestrians have the right of way on campus, mm-hmm. and then they don't distinguish that once you step off campus. And so we have seen some of those issues.
A&M Student Government Vice President for Municipal Affairs Wayne Beckerman says two senators have filed legislation calling for additional protection along University in Northgate.
I've talked to both these groups of senators who wrote the legislation. They know that TxDOT, that is a state road. They know that this is a long process. They know that this is not something that will be fixed easily. But we are working very hard to engage the university and make sure that administration is willing to work with us before we bring something to you.
One bill would extend a barrier in the middle of university, and the other calls for lowering the speed limit. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25-horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Norman G. Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normangytractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor. Nobody.
Hi, Gabe Bach here from TexAgs Radio. And if you're not currently a premium or varsity level subscriber to TexAgs.com, what are you waiting for? TexAgs.com is the inside source for all things Aggie sports, the leaders in breaking news coverage, in-depth analysis, recruiting scoop, and more. Whether it's exclusive long-form interviews with Aggie players and coaches or inside on the next big recruit on his way to Aggieland, nobody covers A&M like TexAgs. Jump on board now and don't miss out on the very best in A&M sports coverage. It's TexAgs.com.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone,
Think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Schulte Roofing, Prosperity Bank, and Subway.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Listen to the Astros, the Rangers, the Texans, and of course, the Fightin' Texas Aggies. Texas Aggies. Your favorite teams play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. And Larry, this guest today has local ties, but they're not currently local. This might be
But this is a young lady in our community who is also responsible for the youth of our community.
Yeah.
It's a breakthrough moment. It's the first time in, I don't know what you guys have done on y'all's part of the show, but on the High School Report, we've never gone live to New York, and that's what we're going to do right now. And I'm pumped up. Our guest today is going to be Kathy Raphael. Kathy is a sweetheart. She is director of the A&M Consolidated Bingle Bells drill team. She also happens to be, well, I started to say she's the wife of the head football coach, but actually, the head football coach, David Raphael, is actually Kathy's husband. I think we should probably get that correctly. But Kathy is in New York because some of members of her group are going to be in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And so we want to talk bingo bells and New York City and Macy's Parade. And we might even work in a little something about her husband's football team being in the third round of the state playoffs. Ms. Raphael, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being on with us. Like I said, it's groundbreaking. We could do a whole full two-hour show on your journey to get there. Coach Raphael told me just a little bit about the misadventures. And so for that, you get, I know you're busy teaching dance and being director of the Bingle Bells. I don't know how often you get to listen to the show, but we have a tradition here, and you get a bless your heart just for what you went through on the traveling. And I think from the story I heard, you probably ran into Macaulay Culkin's mom somewhere in like the eighth remake of Home Alone because of all the different travails you had. Tell us, Ms. Raphael, about how many of your kids, you didn't take the entire Bingle Bell group up for the parade, did you?
No. Basically, the Bingle Bells had a standing invitation, and their seniors are invited every year.
Wow.
So it's something that was established before I got there. So this year I have 9 seniors that I, myself and Shannon Warhol, my amazing friend and assistant, we are chaperoning them here, and we're part of the staff that puts on that huge performance.
Now, will your group join in with young ladies from other schools? I mean, you're not just going to have just your 9 going through
Correct.
The parade together, right?
Correct. So if you're watching the show, the group is called Spirit of America, and there are 600 dancers from all over the United States.
Oh, my God.
There's also 500 or 600 cheerleaders also in this show, and this is a really cool group. Just some history behind it. Santa Claus, the Rockettes, and the Spirit of America dancers and cheer group are the only groups that have a standing invitation to be in the parade. They don't have to apply, or there's like an application process, but we've been doing this is our 29th year to be in the parade, and a million years ago, 29 years ago, myself and a skeleton group of about 12 people started it. We were on the inaugural staff, so to speak. We had about 300 dancers, and it just evolved. And if you're watching the parade, because I have to do a little bit of a plug, the 600 dancers are going to enter, they're going to introduce Santa Claus. So it'll be at the end of the parade around 11:45, and they're doing kind of a winter medley, and they'll dance, and then they'll split, and Santa will kind of ride through them. It's kind of an honor to go either first or to bring in Santa. Kind of a big deal.
There you go. Now, tell us, does your group of seniors, do they have any other activities in terms of performances? I mean, I'm sure you guys are doing tourist stuff in New York City, but are there any other shows or events that dance group that includes the Spirit of America, is there anything else that's going on while y'all are there?
Well, there's every year it's different. So this year we had a really special thing that happened. They needed about 12 dancers to dance for the Today Show, and it was Macy's. What Macy's does is they'll call us the last minute when they just need bodies or help because they know we're at their disposal. So they needed 12 dancers to go to the Today Show with the Macy's dignitary to kind of break in the show and advertise for them. And two of our girls, my captain, Jamie Byer, and my first lieutenant, Cassidy Lampo, were chosen out of that 12. And so they got to do a small, really quick performance. And that was quite an honor. Very excited for them to do that. And then sometimes, you know, you never know. We had, before we went to rehearse yesterday, right in front of Macy's, they do it for the producers and directors. They wanted to have a big spirit rally, kind of flash mob, in the bottom floor of Macy's. So they called all of the dancers and cheerleaders. We're talking 1,200 kids.
Wow.
We're all in the bottom of Macy's, all in their shirts. They had a live DJ, and they did a flash mob, and they were kind of promoting the spirit of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. So they have different things every year that come up, kind of that Macy's comes up with, and we're just kind of at their disposal.
Right.
And then, yeah, they're doing the touristy thing. We got to see Hamilton last night, which was an amazing musical that's a really hot ticket here in New York. It sold out till May, and it talks about Alexander Hamilton. Like, if history could be taught in a musical, I now know everything about Alexander Hamilton.
Wow.
I'll never forget it. Yeah.
Our guest today is Kathy Raffield. She's, I don't know, Aubrey hasn't met her, so you couldn't say she's a friend of the program. She's a friend of mine, and she is the director of the Bingle Bells, and they are in New York City for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. A couple of things we want to mention in addition to that. I did say that Coach Raffield is your husband, and the Tigers have reached the third round of the state playoffs. They'll be playing Saturday at NRG Stadium in Houston, and they'll be playing against Fort Bend Ridge Point Saturday afternoon. It's supposed to start at 5, might be a little bit after that because there's a game before it. But we're going to trust, even with all the travel difficulties that you endured on your way to New York City, performing in the parade, you're still planning on being back in time for the game Saturday.
Yes, everybody's flying back on Friday, and the girls all knew that if we won on Thursday, that we would get home Friday night and we would get ready and be at NRG Stadium on Saturday. That's a given. They all know.
Yeah, that's not bad. You know, in the Macy's Day Parade and then out on the field at an NFL stadium, that's a pretty good two-day deal there. Now, I would be remiss, which I probably am remiss all the time anyway, but I feel like I have to ask you about the weather and if you guys are prepared. Now, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the parade route I've seen on TV, but, you know, those cameras just kind of sit there, you know.
Yeah.
You guys got a ways to go. But I'm curious about the weather. Is it going to be cold? Are your girls going to be freezing out there? Is it going to be nice? You had to plan for that.
Yes. I mean, the costumes sometimes are very forgiving so that you can bundle up. But basically, we start at 77th Street, and it's about a three-mile walk by the time you get to the end of the parade. And what the misconception is, you think when you see the girls perform, you think that's the beginning of the parade. But everybody who goes, what you see on TV is really people have already marched 3 miles, and they do the performance at the end, and then you're done. So I think the weather's supposed to be in the 50s. It's actually been really pleasant here. And it was warmer here than it was for y'all, because I heard that we had like a freeze or crazy weather in
conversation.
It's been really pleasant here for New York. So we're going to get lucky. Last year it snowed on us the whole time.
Oh, my God.
This year I think we're going to be good.
Do you have, can you give us a prediction? I don't want you to give away any facets of the game plan, because I'm sure you help offensive coordinator Brian Cope and defensive coordinator Dale Williams. I'm sure those two guys and your husband, the head coach, can consult with you. I know you don't want to give away the game plan, but do you have any predictions or any thoughts about the football game on Saturday?
I hate to be boring. To be honest with you, we don't really talk about it that much at all. And this is for my self-preservation. I get so nervous and so wrapped up in the game that if he does say anything like, wow, I really think we're going to do well, or wow, you know, these guys are really good, I get so nervous I can't cope. I'd rather actually not know and go in with no expectations, and then I'd be pleasantly surprised or really, really disappointed. So, but I will tell you this, you know, here's the deal with high school, any kind of high school athletics. It's kind of crazy that my husband, Coach Cope, everybody else out there, you know, their living is based on whether adolescent teenagers show up, you know?
Good luck with that, huh?
Right. So Coach Raphael and I have been married. We'll be 30 years in December. He's always been a coach since we've been married. I've seen, I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of games, including date night scouting when we were younger. All I can tell you is that, you know, a lot of it is chemistry. A lot of it is luck of the bracket. A lot of it is who shows up and when they peak. I've definitely seen teams peak early and then kind of falter. I just think this is a really special group of kids that they really are capable of more than I think what they've showed us so far. And, you know, I'm still waiting for that perfect game. Right. Is the coach's wife.
Well,
I still don't think they've done it yet. Right. I don't think they've played that game.
That's a woman who knows what she's talking about. And when it comes to dance groups, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and football. And we really appreciate Miss Raphael being with us. And before we let her go, just want to say this on the air so she gets full credit for this. So I mentioned some of the things. She's also a football mom because her son, Will, is a senior on the team this year. Will had to endure a really frustrating injury that really affected a lot of his senior year. He's come back and gotten a chance to get out on the field, and I know that means a lot. To his mom, we're not talking about coaches' wives now. We're talking about players' mom. That's a whole other thing. And I want to get this on the record that I got this right. And I think it's neat that you're so involved with the parade and the groups that perform. But there is a reason. We need to let our listeners know that Kathy Raphael is a former Kilgore Rangerette. That's where Coach Raphael met her and latched on to her. But you've probably been in huge parades and at big events and stuff, so you did that. I can't believe you said that y'all had your 30th anniversary coming up. I didn't know that they let young ladies get married at 7 where you grew up. But bless your heart.
Mary.
And Coach, Ms. Raphael will be watching for you guys on the parade, and then we'll see you at NRG Stadium on Saturday. So I hope you guys have a great time and just enjoy it. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Aubrey, you don't get that all the time. We're talking big time. We're talking standing invitation to the Macy's. You don't have a standing invitation to the Macy's.
You don't know that, Larry. I might.
No, she just said only them and the Rockettes. And
I'm a Rockette.
You know okay. Well, you go.
That's the thing you never knew.
Larry, you know him well because you covered him. I covered Coach Raffin when he was at Cy Falls. And, man, great dude. Good coach, and I didn't realize they were still in the playoffs, so I might have to sneak. I'm not covering A&M LSU on Saturday, so I might have to sneak myself over to NRG and go watch that game.
Well, they're
on
playing
Saturday.
A very talented team. They're playing Fort Bend Ridge Point, but it's a second game of a doubleheader. But they really like this group of kids. Not the most talented group that they've had, but as Ms. Raphael said, coaches wise, no, they've kind of come together at the right time. And I just thought it was neat that she's taking those kids up there. And I mean, we're live in New York, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, I was gonna say, we've been live in New York one other time.
Oh, okay.
I was a guest on the show when I was in New York covering the Heisman.
Right.
So we have been live in New York, but it was me, so it doesn't really count.
Yeah.
So I think that was the first. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with the news. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Speaking of Christ, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 declares, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." How wonderful for us! This means that every person has the opportunity to be saved if they will just come to God on His terms. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Truly, salvation is available to all mankind, but only those who obey the gospel will access that salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible Minute has been brought to you by the BCS Church of Christ. We invite you to visit us at the BCS Church of Christ, which meets on Highway 30. Go to bcschurchofchrist.com to learn more.
This Thanksgiving, spend your day giving back to our community. Epicure's Catering will be teaming up with the Brazos Food Bank and Duncan Dining Center for the 32nd annual Thanksgiving in the Brazos Valley. Hundreds of local volunteers are needed to lend a hand in preparation and delivery of over 1,000 Thanksgiving meals locally. Donations of food are being accepted at the Brazos Food Bank. Monetary donations for Thanksgiving in the Brazos Valley can be made at any location of the bank and trust. Sponsorship opportunities are also available. Call Epicure's Catering at 695-0985. Thank you for making this Thanksgiving special for your neighbors in the Brazos Valley.
This is Pat Henry, the head track and field coach here at Texas A&M University. Our athletes and our coaching staff have been training hard and working hard to continue a tradition of excellence. We need the 12th man's support all season long as we begin our journey towards another NCAA championship. Season tickets are now available. Order yours today by calling 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com. Thanks and giggle.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
When you shop the BOGO free sale at Bell's, you'll have double the reasons to celebrate. Because through Tuesday, almost everything is buy one, get one free. Mix and match across the store. Buy a great sweater and get the perfect boots free. Then accessorize away. Because fine jewelry is buy one, get two free. Treat yourself. Then come back for our amazing Black Friday deal starting at 2 p.m. Thanksgiving Day. Hurry in for a brighter way to holiday. Your BOGO free sale at Bell's. Part of our Stage family. Exclusions apply.
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit zone1150.com now.
As I walk through this wicked world.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, joined by Darren Benton to tell us what's going on in the news out there.
Lots of things to tell you about. Student bonfire is being set tonight.
Yeah.
Did you ever go out to student bonfire?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, are you going to go tonight?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, student bonfire, it's being set tonight. We have all the information on our website. Plus, we have a photo gallery of student bonfire through the years, starting back as the first photo I could find is, 2003 or something. So, but we have photos from all the years that I could find photos of. So go online and take a look at all of the student bonfires through over the past decade. Also, we'll tell you about the local Brazos Valley Ag Breakfast was this morning. The 17th annual event saluted agricultural producers in the area. There were awards. There was a keynote speaker talking about the challenges and importance of the agricultural industry. So we'll tell you what that was all about. Plus, we have the Bryan City Council is considering a property tax abatement agreement for a company who's planning to expand into the business park. We'll tell you what that is. And then also, Jake Walker will tell you about your Thanksgiving Day traffic. The Texas Department of Transportation has some things available online to help you dodge the traffic.
Yeah, they do. They have all kinds of cool stuff these days.
Yeah. So if you're going anywhere this weekend, or this week actually, you might want to check that out so you know when to go and where not to go.
Yeah, don't go between here and Kerrville, Texas, tomorrow afternoon. That's my only request. And then between there and back here Friday morning. Those are the times I need open, Darren. Well, if you ever went off the roads.
If you are going, just remember to be safe. Get back safely so that you can tune in on Friday?
We won't be back here. Well, we're here tomorrow, and then we won't be back until Monday.
Okay.
Because of women's basketball will be on instead of us Friday. So busy week for Aggie sports and high school sports. Everyone in this town forgot how to lose, Sam. I know you're over here hanging out. We've got all of our high school teams are still going that made the playoffs. We've got both College Station schools and Bryan are still going. Navasota is still going. Soccer is still going. The volleyball team is can't seem to lose these days. They're on a giant win streak. And football, women's basketball, men's basketball. It's a crazy week, Sam.
How it is crazy.
We're going to make it. A few more days. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. We got a busy show for you tomorrow. We're going to have Ross Dellinger of The Advocate. We'll be on with us. We will have Coach G talking soccer with us. We might have some more special guests on the show tomorrow. A lot going on. You will want to be here for that. Thanks for being with us. It's been Aubrey Lumen, Darren Benson, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
You can hear Dave and Dave with every Aggie football game right here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone.